You've been trying so hard to move forward. It can be tough just to keep going, with self-doubt and fear at your back, blocking you again and again. But now, the tides have turned. It's your time to rise up, stand tall, and unleash your magnificent potential. Welcome to It's Her Turn with me, Dr. Kate Dow. Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a single mother who at some point has to let go of her babies? Well, today we have Shantae Jennings joining us, who has reinvented herself a few times, both personally and professionally, as a single mother. And she will share with us what have been some of the hardest challenges about being a single mom, and what are the things that have helped her come through that and come through many powerful transitions in her life. Now, Shantae is a systems strategist and founder of Virtual Partners Plus, a digital implementation agency that works with coaches who are overwhelmed by technology, and it helps them automate their business so they can do more of what they love. Before this business, Shantae spent 20 years working in the administration and logistics field with the federal government and in the military, and really saw how toxic the work culture was and really started to focus back on, hey, I want to start my own business that helps women. And that's when she founded Virtual Partners Plus. So Shantae, I'm so excited to have you here. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Kate. Glad to be here.
So, you know, because we're focused on the single mother piece, I thought I'd pull some stats that I wanted to look at, and where are we at with single mothers. And of the 11 million families in the United States with children under 18 and no spouse present, the majority are single mothers, 8.5 million. That's 77% of the population of families in this country. Whoa. Are you blown away by that?
That is amazing, but not surprising.
Yeah, I hear you. Apparently, the U.S. has the highest rate of single mothers on the planet. And this was as of 2019. That kind of stunned me a little bit. But, you know, we're talking about the single mother piece because it's a big part of what you've gone through. And tell us a little bit of how you came to be a single mom. Was it something that you planned? Or what was that about?
No, I did not plan it. I was raised by a single mother. She was raised by a single mother. So I was definitely trying to see how I could improve that situation. I'm smarter. I know a little more. So maybe I can make some different choices. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I ended up divorced and disappointed because I was just in the same position, alone with my children, to raise them myself.
Oh man, I'm so sorry. I know. It's such a disappointment when you really want to make something happen, especially when you're wanting to change that ancestral, you know, lineage, like chain of events where single mothers work so hard, right? Work so hard to take care of their babies. And then we're still dealing with the same culture though, that isn't helping men know how to show up.
Exactly. My grandmother and my mother worked so hard. It was amazing how hard they loved their children. We felt loved. But these men had absolutely, it was just like, I'll just start a new life and it's just fine. And when I'm like 100 years old, I'll go and revisit my kids that I didn't pay any attention to. But there's nobody holding them accountable. They don't even feel guilty.
Right. Well, there's permission. Exactly. There's this permission that men, that's not really their job, right? That's really been part of that idea of what a father was they just needed to, you know, work or be the provider. They didn't really need to be there and help raise the kids. But there was also a lot of permission to say, well, and if you can't afford it, if you can't help out, that's okay. And you're right. Moms, single moms, they carry the weight.
They absolutely carry the weight. And it shouldn't be that way.
It shouldn't be that way.
Two parents made those children. Two parents should always be responsible for their upbringing and their financial responsibilities as well. Two parents.
Right. And so there's a difference between parents who divorce and then they stay co-parenting,
right? They're able to financially both be responsible to what the child needs. They're both emotionally and physically responsible to raise those children and help them. And that's a little different than single moms whose, you know, children's father basically is either unavailable, unwilling, or really incapable, because there's the dads who are just not capable because of their own, you know, maybe mental health issues, their own trauma, their own, you know, challenges in their life. So it's a very different thing.
That's very different. I know they're both women raising children, but to have a parent that is still your partner in parenting is very different. As a single mom, we don't have that. We're right. doing everything.
Right.
Everything. Money, mental, emotional, physical, everything. We supply everything for our children. Whereas these other families, co-parenting, both, they can tag team. They can
right.
do something. You get a break.
Right.
You get somebody to back you up. Whereas single moms, we don't have that. We do not have that.
Yeah. So did you have support at all or from your family or?
Oh yeah, I have an amazing family. I am so blessed to have my family because mm-hmm. my mother, my brothers, my aunts, my uncles, everybody has always been a huge part of my daughter's growing up. My daughters think of my baby brother almost in the way you would think of a father.
Oh,
that's
wow.
how close a relationship they have. But that was his choice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was his choice. He jumped right in immediately when he saw that train wreck. That was, you know, anyway, he jumped right in and has loved his nieces. He's always been there for them. Like I said, I'm blessed. My mother was the same way before she passed. She had always had a close relationship with her granddaughters.
Wow. I'm glad that you have that. What was the hardest part would you say about being a single mom?
Being disappointed that it worked out that way and dealing with the guilt. Mm-hmm. I felt like constantly guilty when I felt bad or tired. I come home from work and you feel tired. Your kids need something. You feel, man, I'm tired. Do we have to do that? You feel mm-hmm. immediately guilty for that.
Yeah.
For feeling guilty when it's just human nature. You've been working like 10 plus hours and you come home and you got to do something. You got to step into mommy mode.
Right. Right. You got to be on all the time.
You got to be on all the time. And is that humanly possible? No, but you have to at least try as a single mother because your child has only you to count on.
That's true. It's unbelievable. You have to be superwoman.
You do. It feels like it.
And yet, how did you feel like you were treated as a single mother out in the world?
Patronizing or either just totally ignored altogether. I think I shared with you earlier that I took my kids. I went to a church and I was really spiritual. I felt like I wanted my kids to have a background in religion, but we pretty much went for them because they totally ignored me as a single mother. They had no resources. They had nothing. That every event or thing that they had or hosted was for children or for couples. Mm-hmm. I felt totally ignored.
Wow.
In society in general, I felt poor thing. Or especially being around the other parents when we did activities at school. I was the parent that was bringing my kid, doing everything, but it was just me.
Right.
So I'd be like, you need some help. Or just being overly patronizing, in other words. And I don't need anybody's sympathy.
Sure.
I don't want anybody's sympathy. But, you know, they give you that face where, poor thing, because you're not married, and which means nothing as far as I'm concerned.
Right. But the culture does, right? The culture really, you know, our patriarchy
encourages.
It says if you're married, you've won the lottery, which is such a joke, mm-hmm. right? Because how many good marriages do we see? But you win the status lottery in our cultural setup. And as a single mom, what I've seen and experienced myself as a single mom is that, yes, there's the patronizing, but there's also sort of the like, you're just, yeah, ignored or avoided or slightly shamed for being mm-hmm. a single mom. Did you experience mm-hmm. that?
Yes, I did. It should have been something that you could have done to fix that. Or what did you do to get yourself in that situation?
Yes. Like the responsibility for the relationship not working, being passed off to the mom. The fact mm-hmm. that, oh, poor you, you're a single mom. It's your fault somehow.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we take that on. And this is part of, you know, why we're doing this podcast, is to be able to say, this is part of what we experience as women and why it's sometimes so hard to get past this shame, this fear, this insecurity and self-doubt. Is we get a lot of messages about, you're just not doing it good enough.
Exactly.
And then we take that in, and then we never feel good enough or not as good as that lady. And we start to compare ourselves. So as a single mom, you're not only holding all the responsibility, but oftentimes we've really taken on all the shame.
Oh, we definitely take on all the shame. I don't meet very many men that are divorced with children that seem shameful or even have conversations that imply that they're sad or ashamed that they contributed to that situation. It's always the mothers. Whenever I talk to the mothers or we ask about how, you know, it came to be that way, they feel shame. You can see it on their faces. Mm-hmm. And I felt the same way. I felt like, what did I do wrong? Why was my judgment so poor that I ended up with this person? When in essence, people, you only know what people show you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
Yep. But it's so powerful. And this is why we're talking about it. Because I think when we can acknowledge that that's happening out in the world, this sort of shame story about single moms, then we get to say, oh no, that is not okay. That is not what's true, but I've been believing it. And I feel like it's empowering to be able to say, that's the story out there, but I'm not going along with it. And that's what you started to do, right?
It is. You're right. It is empowering. And I did start to do that because I looked at my mother and my grandmother. They were amazing women. They raised their children. They did a very good job and they were happy. I don't know if they necessarily felt shame, but I never saw any of that. Mm. And I did not want to show my kids that. And I stopped feeling it because I'm like, why? I'm an amazing mother. I'm doing a good job with my children. There's no need for shame here. Mm-hmm. I do what I need to do. And just because, and being a Black woman, I'm used to society saying things that aren't true.
Whew. That's the truth.
So, if I believed everything society said about African-American women, I wouldn't be here.
So how do you do that? How do you go, everybody out in the world is reflecting this message to me, and I am not going to believe it. How do you do that?
Well, I would say for me, it started with my mother because she said, you don't look like they do, but I'm telling you, you can be anything you want because in your heart, you are that person.
Gotcha.
You're in a beautiful, amazing person. But for myself, I had to go find resources. I started looking and because I'm a reader by nature. I started looking for resources that I felt drawn to and finding people. Like the biggest thing that I did to help myself with this situation was reach out to another woman that I thought maybe had been in the same situation, mm-hmm. but had gotten to the other side.
Gotcha.
And I connected, and I just told her one day we were having a conversation, and we just went out for coffee, and I just started sharing how I felt, what I wanted for my family, how, you know, disappointed I was, and then she just totally gave me her story. And once I heard her story, I was like, oh my God, her story is deeper than mine. And she's over here happy and successful. I can do this.
Yes.
I can do this.
Yes. So you see somebody like you who came through the struggle. They defied the stories out there.
Yes.
And they came through to the other side. And then we go, I can do that.
I can do that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, I listened with my jaw dropped open with the things that came out of her mouth.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh. And you have this great job. You have a happy family. You have this, you have that. If you can do that, I know I can do that.
That's it.
I felt that is it. And then, I mean, I even shared my story in like more of a public place. And I thought to myself, I don't need everybody knowing my failures. But after that, women came up to me and said, I'm so glad you shared your story. That's me right now.
Yes.
And I felt so alone. So
And that you just named the reason I'm doing the podcast, right? I don't want women feeling alone. I want women to know that we've all struggled in different ways, and we have the different resources we've done, the different choices we've done, the things we've chosen to help us move forward. And we want to share those. So for you, it was being able to trust and go move past your sort of uncomfortableness about sharing and be vulnerable and real with this woman who then ended up sharing her story, and you got completely supported and empowered from it.
Yes. Yes. Because I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I cried because I felt like this thing came off my chest. Mm-hmm. And I just knew that I was going to be okay. And I knew my kids were going to be okay.
Wow. Well, that's the powerful gift right there, right? Just knowing, okay, mm-hmm. I don't know how we're going to get there, but we're going to be okay.
We're going to be okay. Because once you feel that, the rest is going to be baby steps, but you know for a fact that you're going to be okay. You'll be able to handle anything else that comes.
Now, it hadn't been easy for you to be vulnerable and open, though, about sharing about your feelings. So how did you do that? How did you move past that sort of, you know, wall?
Well, I had really just been struggling. I was struggling. And I didn't want my kids to see struggling because I was writing in my journal. I had even, you know, went to church thinking that was going to be a solution. Wasn't. But I just felt like I was in this place where I cannot have my kids see that I'm struggling. Mm. So what I need to go do something. It might be something hard, but let me. And then that's when I was reading. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what. And they said, you might need to find another resource. Find someone that you can talk to. And I definitely was not that person to go talk to people. I didn't even tell my mother why I was getting divorced when I was getting divorced. So, but this woman had been encouraging. She is always happy. She always was, you know, because we worked together. She was always supportive with me for work things. She always seemed to just know what I was thinking. I guess it was from the look on my face. But she always seemed to see when I'm struggling with something. And she's like, what's going on with you today? Do you want to talk about it? And she would say that often. And then that one day I just said, yeah, I do want to talk about it.
Yeah. That one moment you were ready to break that old story of I don't share.
Exactly. It came to that point because I knew I was going to have to do something. I was not going to have my kids worried about what's going on with mama or, you know, feeling unloved or whatever may happen because I'm in my own place. So I needed to do something. So I took that step and it was great.
See, I love that. It's like we have to get out of that comfort zone of the things we normally do to feel safe, right? So not sharing felt safe, but then you had to say, okay, but I need it to change. So I might need to try something new. And how do I have the courage to do that? Well, sometimes it's just jump. You know,
it's definitely just jump because that you don't know how hard that was for me. I was feeling like the minute as it was coming out of my mouth and I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you telling her that stuff? That's like that hurtful, sad stuff. Why are you telling her that? Mm-hmm. And then once it came out, it was amazing. I was just, and then her response was amazing because she was so encouraging. And that's when she shared her story. And I was just like, wow. Yeah,
that was a real gift. So that helped you kind of take some steps to feel better about yourself and raise your kids. And then you came to this place of now your kids are older and they don't need you. And what happened? What was that like?
Remember when I said we do everything? Yeah, we do everything, but they were also my universe. Mm-hmm. I mean, my world circled around Jasmine and Jade. So everything I did was them. Everything I thought of was them. And all of a sudden they were one minute they were 2-year-old toddlers fighting over a CNC. The next minute they were teenagers fighting over who's going to drive the car.
Yeah.
It just flew by and then they needed me and I'd come home to hugs and kisses. And then after like all of a sudden, like, no, you aren't going to actually drive us there, are you, Mom? Stop at the block down the street. I was like, oh, my God, what happened?
Yeah.
And then they just don't need you anymore. They were adults. They were young. They'd either gone to college or the military, and they just did not need mama. And I was like, well, that's my whole life. Just walked out the door. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, it's an identity crisis. I mean, it's a crisis for a lot of women at that point. It's not just like, oh, okay, I'll just change gears. I mean, it's devastating.
It's huge, especially for single mothers, because you have been my entire world. And then they just take my world out. What am I supposed to do all day? What am I supposed to think about? Who am I? Mm-hmm. Who am I? I'm not their mother. They don't need a mother per se. Who am I then?
Yeah.
Who am I?
How hard was that for you?
That was really, really hard, because at the same time, I was getting ready to leave that military, that toxic environment. So I was happy about that. But then I was like, but what else is there? I don't have anything else. What's going on? You got to get a new job and you got to get a new life. What's that like? You're over 40. I mean, and then society again is telling you, well, you're washed up, you're done when you turn 40 anyway.
Right.
But there's like nothing. So they didn't have anything that offered me options until I started thinking about this toxic work environment. How about, is there any options for not working for other people? And I kind of investigated starting a business, but then I'm such a not a risk taker. So I just kind of like, well, you need to keep a job or something. Just back up on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So but what did you do? What did you do?
Actually, I started reading again. And I realized when I was in the military, I really hated running. So I decided I was going to go train for something that would consume me, because everybody I knew that did marathons said it was like your life. And I was like, oh, I need a hobby that's like my life. So I would go sign up for that. So
okay.
It was consuming.
But you hated running. You hated running.
I did.
So why would you sign up for that?
It sounded good. Actually, this is how it went. I hated running. I went to sign up for a group that was supposed to help you like running. It turned out I liked the running. But that just kind of coincided with my daughter graduating. So I was just like, you know what? I need to just go get some activity that's going to like take all my mind away from
okay.
me. So that's that. They happened to be signing up people for Chicago Marathon. So I signed up. I'm like, it's a lottery. What are the odds I'm going to get picked anyway? Then I got picked. So I had to do it. So,
wow. You signed up for a marathon. You're like, I think I'll start running, and I hate running, but I'll go do a marathon.
Yeah. And I only ran 2 to 3 miles. That was like the most I had ever run. Maybe 5 when I was like younger, but yeah.
And you wouldn't call that a risk taking?
Well, that's the stuff that happens to you when your kids are leaving home.
Okay.
You have all kinds of emotions and stuff, because I'm not a risk taker. At least I thought I wasn't until I did that.
Right. You kind of hit that wall. It's another wall like you hit when your children's dad was gone, and you hit that wall and you're like, okay, something's got to give. Mm-hmm. And you make that leap that says, I can do this. Let's take the next step. And that's kind of sounds like what running did for you.
It did, because running consumes you in such a way that, especially long term, like training for a marathon, that's all you live, sleep, eat, and breathe, marathon. So I had no time to be sad. I had no time to worry about what my daughters are doing or how I miss them or any of that. I focused on that race because I did not want to be the last person out of all those people that ran to get in.
Got it. So it really was a perfect fill-in. It was like you said, all consuming. Mm-hmm. So you had to give 100%.
I had to.
And that became the way for you to focus back on you.
Yes.
Wow. Brilliant.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. Because that takes a lot out of you, but it also builds your confidence.
Yeah.
Because that first week I went to that training program, you had to be running 6 miles. And that was 3 months from when I signed up for that marathon. So I was like, well, I got to go from 2 to 6 within 3 months. And then so I focused on that. And then when it was time to run in the thing, in the marathon, every week I would struggle with myself. Oh, my gosh, I'm not going to make it. I can't do this. Oh, my gosh. And then I'd get out of the car and go do it. And I'd come back like, oh, that was amazing. I'm coming back next week.
I love it. I love it. Right. You're just pushing the edge and stretching yourself in a way that makes you feel powerful again. When, you know, being a single mom, it's pretty empowering because you just have to do it. But it's also like, wow, I do that. I do it all. And here you created a perfect stepping stone to say, I'm going to do whatever it takes, even though I'm scared or I think I can't do it. I'm still going to show up and do it. And you did.
I did.
Wow.
I did. And it was so good for my confidence. I was just overwhelmed with how good that was for my confidence, because that was really a tough thing to do. And normal people would be like, are you on medication? Do you need to see somebody? Why are you doing this?
Right.
Yeah. And I'm like, because I want to. It's for me. I'm doing it for me. And every week I would say that, Shante, you're here for you. So go show up for you. And I would do that.
Wow.
So.
And how did that inform the next choices you made with like your other steps in life around work? Because you made a big leap eventually with your work.
Yes, I did. Because one thing about the training for the marathon, it got tougher and tougher progressively. But you could just prepare yourself. During the week, you ran your mileage. And then on the end of the week, you ran your longest distance. Every week, you were bit by bit preparing yourself. So that was a slow build for confidence.
Gotcha.
And I saw when I finished that race, you couldn't tell me anything. I might as well have had Wonder Woman bracelets on, because I was just like this amazing, Shante, you can do anything. Mm-hmm. What do you want to do next? What's the next big thing? And then I started thinking about starting a business, because I was like, you know what? You just did that thing that nobody in their right mind would have done. You did that thing. So you can do this other thing.
So you did. So you started taking the steps to make your own business. Wow.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
So when we break through those limitations, whether it's mentally, emotionally, or physically, it opens us up to be able to really own our capacity as a woman to do whatever it takes. Even though you'd really experienced that as a single mom, this was like, now this was focused back on you. What can Shante do to really feel good and powerful in her life that's not focused on her kids? And the marathon really was, it really was a training to like step into super mom, superwoman version rather than super mom version of you. And then how was it building your business?
Oh my goodness. Now I have to say that building the business, I did treat it almost the same way I did as doing the marathon. I created a training plan. So I created my business plan. I got in a program with a trainer. I got a coach. I was consistently working on it, baby steps consistently. Same thing with my business. I did not let myself get overwhelmed or disappointed or either unmotivated. Motivation was not an option. I was in it whether I felt like it or not, for the marathon and for starting my business. Both of those went hand in hand, because I knew at the end of that race, I was going to be successful. And at the end of this business venture, when I was still doing all this stuff while I had a full-time job, getting up early, staying up late to take care of clients, I knew at the end of that, at the end of that is waiting for me working in my business full-time. So it did not deter me at all.
I love it. And really what you're saying is that it takes, and I think this is true for most of us, if we want to change gears and do something we've never done, it takes a level of devotion and discipline. And I feel like that's something that not all of us are raised with, that's an effort, an ability to focus, like, I really want this. And how do I not only go for it, but not kill myself either. You know, you were very careful to be like, one step at a time, do this step, then this step. Because if you try and run a marathon without doing the steps, you will not make it. You will hurt your body, right?
Right. And I came into that game late. I'm like, I'm the old lady coming in at 40, over 40, trying to run longer distances. So I need to be super careful.
Right.
Don't let my ego get in the way at all.
And it's so much with business too, especially running your own business, right? If you have to do steps at a time, because if you overwhelm yourself, especially as an entrepreneur, which you work a lot with women entrepreneurs, you know, they get you just get overwhelmed and then you are no good for your business. So being able to really care for yourself all along the way. And this is where those resources, the support, you had the coach, you had the knowledge of keeping your health together, not stressing yourself out, being able to take those steps was a vital part of you being successful, wouldn't you say?
Very much so. Very much so. I'm kind of a checklist structure person, so that's like my nature anyway. But I tell anybody, if you feel overwhelmed or like something's too big for you, there was plenty of days where I struggled and thought, you know, who am I to think I can be in a run a marathon? Who am I to think I can start a profitable business? Taking those baby steps, following a process, and just deciding that you really want it. I think me really wanting this got me through those two events. Me, Shante, really wanted to complete this marathon.
Right.
Shante really wanted to start a business that she could leave a job and work in.
No, I hear you. You have to really want it, but then you have to be mindful about how you do it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. You don't want burnout. You don't want to be so overwhelmed that you just give up right before you're about to make success, which I see people do all the time.
Right.
They're just overwhelmed.
Right. So this is a really important part of your message. And I think that's true as a single mom. Like that was my experience, is that if I didn't take care of myself, I really learned very quickly. I was no good as a mom. I had to do things for everybody, but I had to take care of me. Otherwise, I couldn't do the many things and be there for my kids the way I wanted to. So it's an endurance game. It's not just, you know, we'll work hard. No, endure, but because you give yourself all the support you need and, you know, you take risks like you did talking to that woman and getting that support. You took risks to say, I'm going to go ahead and try this marathon. And it was a really good fit for you because of your personality. And it supported you in feeling so confident that you then ended up opening your own business, which is stunning. And I congratulate you on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
So Shante, what would you want to say to a woman that may be going through being a single mom right now? What would you say to them to help them navigate it? No, it's not their fault. What resources would you pass along?
First of all, I would say, know that you are not alone. There's someone that may have had your same experience, is currently having your experience, or may have already had it and can offer you some help. Reach out, connect, and share. There are so many of us that we were blessed to have someone to help us through it. We would love and welcome being able to talk to some other women just to have that conversation and just to build some new relationships too.
Sure. Great. And how do you help them hear that it's not their fault?
Well, for one thing, I think they have to give themselves some grace. You're a human. You love these babies. You're going to be a great mom. It's that relationship situation. That's the past. Your future is your children. Take mm-hmm. care of your children the best. You're a great mom, as you are. You don't have to have all these extra tools and stuff. You just have to be in the game. Mm-hmm. I want to be the best. I convince myself daily. I want to be the best mom for my kids possible. That's who I am. That's my job. My number one job is to be the best mom for my kids. And I would tell them to focus on that. Don't think about what society tells you. Think about what you want. Think about what you want for your kids and focus on that all the time.
That's it.
And don't be afraid to be kind of just tired. Don't feel guilty. Sometimes we're just tired. The kids are screaming and stuff and you just need a like 5 minute break. If you have somebody you can call, get you a 10 minute, 15. Can you take the kids for an ice cream cone, please? So I can just take a shower or something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to ask for that. We as single mothers, because we don't want to be patronized, we don't want to be pitied, we don't want to ask for anything. We really should stop and get somebody that you feel close to and have somebody that you can ask for a favor.
I agree.
Or just go to have a glass of wine with her on Fridays or something, but someone that you can go to for that, because we do not need to be thinking of ourselves as superwoman, because that's a crash and burn.
It is. Even though you have to kind of be superwoman, it doesn't, mm-hmm. it's not a badge that you then
yeah.
burn yourself out on. It's, I have a lot to do and I have to take care of myself as much as I'm, you know, I have to fill my cup so that I can keep showing up and sharing and being there and loving my kids.
Exactly. It's the old adage with the airplane. You've got to put your thing on before you can put your kids on.
That's right. So, that's right.
Because if you suffocate, what's going to happen to them? If you burn out, who's going to take care of them? It's just you.
Well, Shante, it's been an awesome conversation. And I would like to give you a moment here to share a little bit about how people can find you if they are an entrepreneur looking to get your kind of help.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you, Kate. If you're a coach and you're looking for some support in your business, I can be reached at hello@shantejennings.com, or you can look online at my website, shantejennings.com, and get my free quick start biz plan resource. Either one of those.
Yeah, great. Well, we'll definitely be putting your links in with the podcast so people can find you. And I have to say, this was a fabulous discussion about single motherhood and rising through after coming through the tough parts. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. This was amazing. Thank you again.
So you, my beautiful audience out there, I just loved having you here with us, and I hope you take away some wisdom and inspiration that really encourages you to take your turn. And please remember to subscribe, share, give us a review if you're so moved. And I'm your host, Dr. Kate Dow, on It's Her Turn. And now it's your turn to find your voice, own your truth, and claim your power.